Jeremiads, by Miles Wagoner. Jeremiad, a lamentation. A writing or speech in a strain of grief or distress. A doleful complaint. A complaining tirade. A lugubrious effusion. People say that I'm hollering. Man, I feel like hollering. Charles Mingus. Blue stem presses against the orbital sockets of our Pontiac. Here where you remain open-minded, elegant, frank in the ether haven of what's left, where things are done the right way the first time. Where broods of nursing bats sound panicky beneath the caves of your dreaming eyes. Where dusk sinuous jet path body can be a whip and what the whip means licks the at away. Where the yonder you watch turns purple from our vista on the pedestrian bilge, its lost waterway now husky corn stubble, a seed vault or black box on replay or a perfectly good car battery in the snow. Where the shadow from a trio of geese gets lost in the steel wool of a modest panorama, here where the muscle of what I want may finally atrophy in peace, where like a nightgown I may slip off the moon slick surface of a water tower, where they may, if you ever finish school, let you teach cartography in the wind to blind children just back from the war. Right here where neighbors help us shake the cloven hoof of our future. Where the pulleys of my face can work together Amish style. To open and say something precise as the faces around me. To be precise in what my face does not believe. Here where they'll finally let me be the high-speed deep-sea diver bristling with body cameras descending into the wreckage of the missing bedroom suite, beige sofa bed, throw rug of feeding mouths, our mothers and fathers still here, still strapped to their chairs. At least there is prime rib, glasses clinking, and an off-the-scale happy child falling down the aquamarine chute of a waterside. A demonstrative courtesy associate in foam Vasco da Gama head is hugging the boy's sister and their mom, who looks like she could be an older sister herself in the cocktail dress, is jumping and clapping at the same time because she won. Here at the Armada Casino, whose buffet's darkness soothes me with potted plants spearing Mr. Blurry Meat Cutting Analgesic Wacko at the steamy butcher block who is trying to hide. Don't hide from me, man. I can eat more. We feel so far from architecture whose tower and stranded television aerials whisper a different sort of destiny, of diligent souls who erected them. We walk said masonry, fingertips scraped across rough parapets, or hold hands like dumb sugar ants on bombed out Christmas gingerbread basilica so we won't lose each other in Wonderland Rococo. Lose yourself, say the Chamber of Commerce brochures. Whose drone is that? The taffy pulling machine looks treacherous. That we were never here is now possible to prove. At least the stranger strapped to my body hit me in the face, and rightfully so, for I was in charge and skydiving and asleep on the job. You have to remember the good Lord is like a new father who's on the lam but maybe back, give him time, and the world could right itself. Animals too tired to tread water might grow fins, those too tired to keep walking could sprout wings to tow them above shimmering quadrants of corn. You never know. There are afternoons at X thousand feet I'd sooner fall up and wish our common knapsack might deploy a bit more noise. I was thinking how death adder venom behaves like death adder anti-venom, as hereafter betrays the ether through which my anxious client fell with me until he woke me. One of these jumps we'll stop falling. As for the fist of the customer who once trisected my judgment, it was a little bell on a cat's collar, a kitten if you will. I once heard in a mean dog's mouth as he thrashed it. These were just some of my thoughts as my client yelled, "Pull the cord, pull the cord, pull the cord." Which I did no problem. We were fine. At least with the mortal policeman's hold, which in the grip of the reckless holder will break your freaking neck. I feel a touch of wind beneath my armpit where the retired policeman moves swiftly to use the body of the perpetrator, that is my body, like a tree. I am a tree, as an ex-policeman's tree, that wants to kill the ex-policeman, so he kills me first, in the forbidden hold, the Sankyo, the third technique. The ex-policeman is talking into the back of my head, I bought $4,000 in gold in 1986. I'm not a man you run from, so relax. Then he frees me. He touches his shirt pocket, that's man-stopping power there. Then describes it. They're arming us with dum-dums, expanding bullets, mushroom bullets, hollow point rounds for thin-skinned animals. Are you a thin-skinned animal? And in his aviator shades there are two of me waiting for my answer. Look at me. Wanna know what it's worth? I flinch. He's touching my shirt pocket. Struggle next time, it hurts worse. I won't tell you what it's worth. At least my troubled flight is long enough for the man sweating next to me to watch Dr. Strangelove four times, pausing once to fork his in-flight meal of asphyxiated chicken segment. Green logs, and rice pellets with relish as he ignores my new entrees at small talk. Our plane shudders and dips over the sea. Pause is the celebrated scene with Major TJ Kong, riding the bomb, the advent of the end of the world, frozen in the frame on the back of the seat inches from our faces. My stormy oval of the Atlantic mirrors back my face. Oh how I wish I were eating a ho-ho cake beneath the humming air vent of Terra 4 in some warmly carpeted waiting room waiting for my companion to finish his weekly waxing. Anything but TJ Kong. The video of the naked prince is viral again. I'm talking to make conversation. Viral again as a daughter. What's your quiet animal? Just think, tomorrow at this time the Barbary apes will be throwing feces at my motor coach. I need a chip. A subcutaneous chip to market to me more intimately, to keep me company. Ape feces hitting the window, keeping it real as I unscrew a nice thermos of cocoa. The sun will be setting on Rock and our Barbary apes. My obsolete chips fester. I bristle with them, and I'm cold. Slim Pickens Bronco Fall resumes. Time to turn off the friendly button. Hey man, give it a rest. The desert is space. Heat is time. The desert is empty. Heat is boredom's garden. A black box theater for the progress of the world. Or a chain around the necks of children. Otherwise they'd lose the house key again. Television hums in the family room of humming fans. Heat, their textbook says, is kinetic. The house fills with headless action figure torsos. Insects on pins. Spent matches. To look for the desert, look no further than the yellow grass on the banks of the ornamental lake. Fire's path across the sky. The compound bow, gasoline, the rags from the garage, and the geese around the ornamental lake. The stage is set. Traffic passes and sees the children gathered on the shore, but no one stops them. It won't work at first. The arrow won't stay lit, and the geese move. Heat is the future. When it works, the children scatter. The desert is the future. Fill it with what you want. At least a black bathtub with gold fixtures in a windowless privy. A voice in the drain takes the last 48 hours of your life and plays it back for you. How dangerous you looked to be frisked twice, and kind of roughly, by Muscovite men in sports coats, before they let you step down the green carpeted stairs and throbbing perfumed black light, where a blonde page boy girl, boy, licking something off a glass table missing its enamel players with fuel rods burning in the calm waters of a reactor. just like someone falling out of a bed who wildly reaches for a handhold that is not presently available. Your eyes never adjusted, and tables and glasses fell over and you hit the floor, which you did twice. No, you did. A candied regret swelling in the vowels of the bathtub's throat echoes back as you splash about. Sound morning's ulcerous blood sausage is unraveling into another pre-dawn. Janice on the phone, who sells you identity protection, says every identity is worth stealing, but you're not sure. At least I'm at the bedsides, rehabilitated and turning the client's gowned and smelly bodies, whose lives parrot or ape the lives of my mother and father. More and more lives parrot or ape my own as I age, the elderly growing now less animal, to keep the bed sores on the move. As we age, our skulls become us but are overrun with curios and bestiary and grotesquerie. The water cooler stammering in the lobby is one more senseless malagro, neither vermin nor none. Nor lusty troubadour crosses the tiles insufferable sheet of light of the assisted care facilities indoors Ocalo. I wish to be friendly and exactly as the policee, as all the officials know me, as all the databases and systems keep me in their prayers. As the lenses cradle me, may their pixels cub my face and say a Nino, a Minito, mi Ninitatito, my child you are mine and this is who will be. Forever, the hospice's obese harpist, thyroid, is late again, screeching up in a double parked smart car, to play at the 11th hour a Jimmy Buffett medley, and then plays it again. Nurses text, morphine drips, no one's listening. At least Dawn prints a cracked star on the classroom ceiling, a tilting angel doll baby of broken glass. Toilet stalls without toilets turn gray. So do Scholastic brand posters about the virtues of teamwork. Like algae, humidity blooms blue and green around the exoskeleton of our shuttered school where we sleep the sleep of peoples. And snapping latches, hard heels on linoleum, the dream is finally burning off. Holes seeping and slapped faces cooling. Steps of the rent-a-cop approaching us as we wake, impurities in bright sparks are burning, that kind of sleep. The stirring bodes here with me refuse to grow wings. Patch of street and not a clinic waits for us. And in the hallway out of here there hangs an old photograph so luminous and in focus I just might steal it. The contours of the flower vendors see lavender, even the Cooper's horses and wagon heavy with wine barrels stay still for the long exposure. But one young man's face in the crowd is a split face, double-faced, and by looking elsewhere while others stare forward, he is faceless. What caught his gaze away haunts the day's fallen arches down the dead zone summer. What his brutal father said to him, or the priest's word on the soul's undying fragility. Who called the boy's lost name turned his head in the photograph. And it turns my eyes to him. Each morning we walk the streets that we may dissolve together, split in two like a cell. Blur. As he rode us out into the glare, his face wore my questions like a gaudy party hat, on someone who didn't want to wear it. And I could see what he ate that day, the avian bones of his shoulders I mistook for boyish in the pulsing shroud of our departure. His small movements towards me with no answer. An electric whinny from the shore rode the salty air like radio-controlled car tires on gravel. The endless boredom someone's childhood with my name on it. He asked me again if I was afraid. And when he laughed at the quiet between us, he was missing Mueller's unwavering sky above his shaved head. As if we weren't strangers, the crossing's terrible novelty for me, for him nothing but toil. Wanna lie down or fall down? At least the face-eating nut job gives me a choice. Give yourself options, pumpkin, I tell my daughter, who's starting flamenco dancing across the river. In the violent quiet collapsing but shared between predator and prey, there are few sounds we can relate to. Some primordial, others a pinch of last chance blue and high tension wire adapting as soothing heavy falls on us. What used to be the Saturn dealership is a wee lot turned midnight briar Pentecostal service catching fire. Voices flapping and crooning beneath plastic banners that say American made. Teach me, face eating overpass man, how to live free of innuendo and pseudo randomness. In the underbelly of girders, a lost parakeet looks like it's perched on your shoulder. Ductwork and cone won't give up their questions just yet, and today's lesson that sometimes we make things awfully hard for ourselves leaves me unmoved. Are we still in this together? I'll wait. At least there's no such thing as a reset button. No reset button inside the silk kimono of Vladimir Putin as he eats grilled elk meat and wilted Iruka satire on an airplane designed to refuel and circle in perpetuity. A mausoleum with wings. There's a bald spot widening on the back of the heads of men my age, where the reset button is sorely needed. My reset button landing pad gets bigger and bigger as it holds out for the dream. Experts say we cannot endure the unlivable sausage making of unbridled reality, so the irreversibly tangled badminton nets of the human brain grant us just enough foodstuff we need to dress ourselves and keep working. The old diabetic dog who never worked a day in her life will die soon. After eating a meat blaster pizza, she sleeps on a purple cushion dark with pee. The reset button glistens, a rubber ball in orbit around a snowy shepherd mix twitching mid-dream. The infamous execution spills onto the squinting gawkers in archival sepia. At least the graffiti busters can is here with its buckets of donated enamel and volunteers. I'm looking at the shot ankle veins of the scrawny DJ, which may be his name and not his calling. Marv says cut their fingers off or give them 30 days, and I say you bet without knowing who the they is. When Blackjack Ketchum's head spins away from the suit they made him wear, there is a gasp, and a carpenter takes the pencil from behind his ear. Like a pair of Roosevelts beside a brave rhino. Peace officers pose with Blackjack's halves. How hard it is to see Ketchum's suit the same after his head pop flies over horses and parasols and clergy and drunks. Marv says the roof needs a sniper when kids tag the Church of the Holy Name. When a killer's head spins, they must recalibrate the gallows, as algorithms ray into future side effects. When Marv says put him on the church roof with a rifle, he means it. Our future is an endless cabbage field framing runways where no one will ever land. Buttermilk bloats in cartons on a refrigerated truck whose compressor someone fired a bullet into. The truck hasn't moved in days and pools a spectrum of liquid, and we can see it from the dance floor at the center of our apartment complex. Even in the wee hours, the temperature hasn't dropped below 98. The truck's green shamrock logo rises behind the boarded up clubhouse, and there's a Pepsi machine whose power cord snakes out from beneath its red, white and blue panel. Like a fuse we'd love to light. Oncoming traffic heaves behind the eyelids of the passengers dozing on the bus. The sun is our hollow point round shot through my bedroom and the truck. The free half-hour consultation leads to $100 half-hour treatments to trick ourselves into not giving a shit. Ochre ants, ochre weeds, ochre corrugation, ochre pigeon on an ochre direct dish, and the ochre courtesy of letting someone push their plastic cup into the soft drink dispenser ahead of you. He is thirstier and probably got dressed up and disguised as an asshole. The ceramic cutworm, the wing pill puncturing the gauzy discharge of the inversion layer sky, the unreachable deductible, the corporate jet whose occupants are worth every dime is worth every dime. See, the talking cure is working wonders. The apartment complex swimming pool is called the dance floor, a raised and cracked surface half a foot off the pool deck where they filled it all in with fill, then capped it off with cement. Swim at your own risk. It was a hazard. least the patrons are quiet now. Dozing on pills in their booths before half-eaten cartons of chicken tenders. My fiancé's new boyfriend is buying us another round of car bombs. And I can see out of my left eye again. And I can see that the bear pelt nailed to the wall is one of many island nations of tires smoldering as warm sea water swallows them. I want someone to tell me it's going to be all right. The limbic system is a narrow gauge rail whose cars are heavy with what we need to keep blasting. Through the decomposed granite of my afternoon, where a last-ditch effort to save the miners on television ends in a solemn ceremony. Toe-headed daughters in muslin, link hands on slopes of rock and flags crazed by the wind. Jim Croce's time in a bottle dribbles out of a PV amplifier, and when you tell me it's going to be alright, I'll say no it's not. It's not alright.